Kenny Pickett made his debut for the Pittsburgh Steelers, albeit in a 24-20 loss to the New York Jets. But it did offer hope that the Pittsburgh Steelers offense could start to turn for the better, but there's still a lot of questions surrounding that defense, and it's not just about when TJ Watt will get back. We'll talk about all that and more right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things in the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, please hit the like button on this video if you enjoy it. Hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus content. We thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks, of course, is daily fantasy made easy. Just pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com with promo code Locked On. All right, Steelers fans, let's get to the nitty-gritty. We got to talk about Kenny Pickett, y'all. I told y'all that when I talked to y'all going into the Browns game, right, I said, hey, I think the Jets week is the game. And then, you know, Mike Tomlin was like adamantly, no, that ain't happening, all that stuff. And it was just like, well, I guess it's not the game. So maybe it's the bye week. It was the Jets game, just halfway into the Jets game. And I think that there's been a bit of a debate, of course, you know, was it going to be the right move? When were they going to do it? There was half of Steelers fans that were saying, no, you know, give Mitch a chance. There are half of Steelers fans that were saying, get, you know, put Kenny in there. I'll say this. You look at this game, the Steelers didn't lose this game just because of Kenny Pickett throwing, you know, throwing three interceptions. One, the last interception was a Hail Mary. You throw that away. That's just him. He gave his guys a chance. Hey, go get this ball, and you just see what happens. The first interception could have been thrown earlier and given Chase Claypool a better shot at it, but it was still a 50-50 ball that Chase Claypool needed to win over a guy that he was, I think, like 5 or 6 inches taller than. I wasn't mad at that. The one pick that you can really put on Kenny Pickett is that he shouldn't have stopped, turned around, and tried to hit Pat Freiermuth all the way across the field. It bounced off his hands, and he did admit afterwards that he should have thrown that away. But take those, you take that one mistake out and look at everything else. He was composed, even with pressure in his face. It was Quinnen Williams who hit him dead in the chest, knocked him down as he was hitting Pat Freiermuth to execute a drive and get them into goal-to-goal situation. And as he's getting picked up, Kenny Pickett's like looking and smiling and laughing and like saying like, yeah, I'm here now. Let's do this. That was swagger. That was confidence. That was leadership stuff from your quarterback spot. It's one thing to be a leader and just being like the guy who shows up early, the guy who says the right things, but you have to have a commanding presence. You have to command the huddle. You have to command the field. And truly, that's what Kenny Pickett did almost every time he stepped in this game. He came up to the line of scrimmage. He was, you know, whenever you saw stuff, he understood where he was going. He threw 13 passes, completed 10 of them. Yes, 3 of them were intercepted. But again, one I really put on him. The others were, you know, one was a Hail Mary, one was a jump ball that should have been picked off. 120 yards. But each time he was out there, you saw him kind of processing what he had to do, what he was going for, and how he wanted to attack the defense. He had a plan each time. And you can't say that with Mitch. Mitch was gun shy half the time. He didn't understand what he was doing. And what's crazy is Mitch Trubisky was, this was his least incompetent performance for me as with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was understanding a little bit more. I think he was robbed by Deontay Johnson dropping that pass. Yes, it was tipped at the line of scrimmage, but the interception that he threw should have been caught by Deontay Johnson. He was paid wide receiver one money. That's money. That's a wide receiver one play that you need to make. And then he throws a pass to Deontay Johnson in the end zone, which I thought was Mitch Trubisky's best pass as a Pittsburgh Steeler. And Deontay Johnson just misses getting his last toe in. And if Deontay Johnson does those two things, it might not be Kenny Pickett day. it might have been Mitch Trubisky for the rest of the game. But it didn't work out that way. That was not how the cookie crumbled. And Kenny Pickett went in, and I thought he looked sharp. And to explain to you, what I'm saying is that, like, you know, I haven't been able to do the full all 22 film review because that's not out yet. But when I was looking at just from the press box, you know, just watching from the eye in the sky there, I mean, you could see him understanding, hey, this guy's breaking open at this time. I'm going to throw it here. This is a one-on-one spot with George Pickens. I'm going to throw it there. And George Pickens finally getting the looks that he deserves. 8 targets, 6 catches, 102 yards. That's what they've been waiting for. And if you had any doubt about Kenny Pickett and the command that he had in this game, and in a game that he had no reps with the first team all week long, wasn't prepared to be the starter going into this game. He was just waiting for his turn. He looked and sounded strong. There was one play where he called out an adjustment at the line of scrimmage, and I thought it was an audible. He clarified it wasn't an audible. It was actually a protection switch. But still, for him to understand where he's got to shift the protection so that he could get the ball to George Pickens on this play, I thought was impressive. Listen to how he talks about that play and the next couple questions here, and you'll get a sense of the demeanor that I'm talking about when we're talking about Kenny Pickett.
Kenny, there was a play where I think you approached the line, looked like you were talking to the guys, and then you hit Pickens on the left sideline in the third quarter. Was that a hot route or a full audible? What was that?
No, I just wanted to get the protection right, so I had time to get it off. I knew where I wanted to go. I knew I had George one-on-one. I wanted to slide the line left. I would drift a little bit. Jalen would come across and pick up the man on a line of scrimmage, and I knew I'd have enough time to get it off. You know, it's a fade, 3-step. I'll get it up and down. Definitely a good play. I got us in the position we wanted to be. But then, you know, the outcome wasn't what we wanted.
Did you see zero coverage on the deep ball?
Pass down the middle with Pryor, but when the big guy was right on in your face. Can you talk about that play?
Yeah, I mean, listen, third down, you know, 88 does a great job. It kind of, you know, was a little similar to the Jacksonville play, I felt like, in preseason. You know, trusted him, he was going to be where he was, and, you know, he ran a great route. I wanted to give him a chance, and, you know, our line did a great job, I thought, all day. That group has improved tremendously. I think they're definitely the strength of our offense right now, and we're kind of taking their lead.
How tough is it to stand in there when that guy's bearing down?
It's not tough, man. It's in the job description. It is what it is. And I'm a quarterback. That's in my job. So, you know, I tell those guys, stand in there. I really don't care. I know they'll get it right. My job is to stand in there and make throws.
I mean, does that not sound like the kind of voice that you want to hear in those moments? But listen to, you know, when you go back in, if you're listening or watching, go back and listen to exactly how he broke it down when I was talking about that play. He went, this read, that read was this. I need to get the ball out here. He had a purpose. He had a plan, and it was all in the moment. And again, it wasn't like he prepared to study the Jets, to take on the Jets this week. This was supposed to be Mitch Trubisky's week to kind of say, hey, I am the guy. And he was thrown in at halftime. And who knows? Maybe this was by design by Mike Tomlin. I don't think it was. I think he was just like, hey, this is getting rough. Let's just see what the kid got. I also think Mike Tomlin needed to you just see this command. Maybe this was part of a plan. I don't know. I'm not going to presume that I am smarter than NFL head coaches and a Super Bowl champion head coach. But I am going to say I thought Kenny Pickett was this kind of a leader, you know, before. I think he's that leader now. And it might have made sense to give this dude a shot a bit earlier. But again, I ain't the guy that sees him every practice and talk to him in meetings and all that jazz. Mike Tomlin has his ways. We'll see how this continues to play out. But Kenny Pickett, without a doubt, is a commander on the field. Now, I will say this is going to be a roller coaster. Steelers fans, do not think that the Steelers are about to just blow 40 points a week. Here we come. It ain't going to be like that. What I envision is going to be a roller coaster. And I said this on Channel 11's WPXI, The Final Word, on Sunday night. You expect Kenny Pickett to have some really good highs, but also expect him to have some lows. He's a rookie. He's understanding the pace of the NFL and when and how to do certain things. Just like the interception that he threw that did clang off of Pat Freiermuth's hands, but it was a high pass that Freiermuth had to sky up for. And he even said, you know, in the post-game press conference that I was trying to throw that away. I should have thrown it higher so he couldn't tip that to the other guy. You're going to have those lows that come with it. Again, it's a roller coaster, but that roller coaster is going a lot more places with the offense than it was with the merry-go-round that is Mitch Trubisky, because that was just going to go. You knew what was going to happen there. You might get a spark here and there from Mitch Trubisky occasionally, but you could tell he was guessing. He didn't understand wherever he was supposed to be going. Kenny Pickett wasn't guessing. He was reading. He was adapting. That's the Kenny Pickett that I saw at Pitt. That's what made him the ACC player of the year. That's what made him third in the Heisman voting last year. He's a commander. He understands, and I think he carries himself extremely well, and there's a lot of future in that. We're going to get to look at the All-22 and evaluate things more, but live, I mean, you all saw it on television if you were there. If you were at Acrisure Stadium, also shout out to all the people that I met at Acrisure Stadium. A lot of you guys said hi and said that you liked the show. If you ever see me, please don't be afraid to say hello. If you see me running, that just means that I'm trying to get somewhere. I got someone else I got to meet. So I do apologize if I brushed past some people there. But don't be afraid to say hello. But if you were there at Acrisure Stadium, you saw it. You saw the feeling of it, the excitement it brought to the crowd and to the team. Deontay Johnson after the game saying, yeah, there was a swagger there that we'd been missing. He talked about there was an efficiency there. I think he's not lying. The Steelers didn't go three and out one time with Kenny Pickett in the second half. They also had the longest touchdown drive, the touchdown drive where he ended up with the run that was two yards out. That was a 12-play, 82-yard touchdown drive. It's the longest touchdown drive for the Steelers all season in yards and in play. And just what else do you need to see? That's the efficiency that they're talking about. There's a lot more to explore with Kenny Pickett. We'll do that all week long. We've got a lot of time leading up to this upcoming Bills game and a lot of time to talk about that. But this defense, a fourth quarter collapse, two touchdowns that was unacceptable to a Jets offense that they should not have given up those points to. We'll talk about that in a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, we got to talk to you guys about our good friends over at Prize Picks. Now, if you're not familiar with Prize Picks, I talked about them earlier. Prize Picks is the new daily fantasy game that you need to get up into because it is an awesome opportunity for you to make money. It's a lot easier than the other daily fantasy games because other daily fantasy games, you go in and you'll be playing against a million people and you just have to hope to get lucky. It's not like that. Prize Picks is simply just pick 2 to 5 players. And if you think that you have a beat on their fantasy days, you'll be given a more or less stat on each of those players. And all you got to say is more or less. For example, if you thought that Kenny Pickett was going to score one touchdown in this game, or more than one touchdown in this game, and that was his marker, then you'd say, hey, Kenny Pickett's going to score 2 touchdowns. You bet more, you win your bet. Again, 2 to 5 players with every entry. You can win up to 10 times your money with any entry over at Prize Picks. You're not competing against others. You're just guessing more or less on your picks. And this isn't just the NFL. With Major League Baseball getting ready for the playoffs, you can do that too. NBA and NHL right around the corner. You can also do it with college sports and so much more. Download the Prize Picks today or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. And first-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, you get another $100. It's that simple. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for your instant deposit match up to $100 of prizepicks.com. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. We're continuing to talk about the Steelers' loss to the Jets. And again, there's a lot of hope with the way Kenny Pickett carried himself this game. And it could flip back around. You know, Ben Roethlisberger didn't win his first appearance in the NFL. He was brought in against the Ravens and, you know, looked okay. But then there were some rocky plays there. But the group that could have allowed him to win this game was the defense. And yes, he did throw, you know, that interception that bounced off of Freiermuth and led to the game losing drive there. But the defense needed to stop Zach Wilson. This was not an inspiring performance by any means. Zach Wilson in the fourth quarter was nigh immaculate. And I mean, for the most of the game, he was whatever, 18 of 36, 252 yards, threw a touchdown and two interceptions. Nothing killer there, but in the situation, the Steelers needed to come through. And yet another fourth quarter where they looked tired, they looked out, they looked like they weren't on their best game, and they were taken advantage of. And again, this is not an excuse. I said going into this week, this is the week the defense needed to come through. And Minkah Fitzpatrick, his interception that set up Kenny Pickett's first touchdown on the QB sneak, that was the play that I said that they needed to make to get the Steelers offense a short field, but they needed more of them. And frankly, A lot of them came with allowing passes over the middle to Zach Wilson, who in the fourth quarter just looked extra sharp and moving the ball and targeted the middle part of the field. Just time after time, they went after Arthur Mallette. They went after Robert Spillane. They picked up the weaknesses in this defense, and those weaknesses led to giving up a lot of those plays. And it's crazy because if you look at the stats, third down efficiency, the Jets were 40% on third down. That's not great. It's not good. Defense. You know, you're kind of happy with that. But the problem is the times that it came was in the crunch time when you had a lead to defend and you couldn't get either stops on those last two drives. That's unacceptable. And one of those drives traveled 81 yards. The other drive traveled 65 yards. Minkah Fitzpatrick was talking after the game, even though he had a pick. I actually didn't think he was at fault for most of this stuff. They were going underneath. They were picking at the underneath weaknesses. But you could tell the frustrations building with Minkah. And his after game his post game comments were, you could tell that there was a frustration there. He came out and said, you know, I think that we lost to a team that we had more talent than, and that drew a lot of the ire of a lot of Jets fans. And you know, to be fair to Jets fans, you won the game, you beat them, you were the better team in the game. Absolutely have a right to talk your stuff. But I do think that where Minkah Fitzpatrick's coming from on this is like, hey, we're tired of losing like this. You've been losing a lot of one-score games. I know the Browns was officially not a one-score game, but it was a one-score game. You possess the ball down a score. You know, if you score, you have a chance to win that one. But listen to Minkah Fitzpatrick talk about what's going on with the Steelers' defense and also my question about communication here. This was him in the locker room after the game.
What have you seen from this group? We just got to make the plays, man. That's it. If you look at the series, it's a couple of third downs that we got to win. Just make the plays that we got to make. That's it.
Minkah, how frustrating has
this been? It's very frustrating. You know what I'm saying? It's frustrating losing to people that you know that you're better than, more talented than, especially when you have a team like we have. Like, we're a great team, a lot of talent, a lot of great young players. I think we are way better than what we've been performing or putting on display.
How do you describe what it was like from your perspective when Kenny Pickett comes in the second half?
We just got to play defense. You know, whoever's out there on the other side, it don't matter to me. We just got to do our job.
How do you get back to playing the defense you guys want to play?
Like I said, it's just winning the weighty downs, the necessary downs. We lost way too many third downs in the fourth quarter, in the third quarter. We gave up too many big plays. We're playing very unlike ourselves. So just making those weighty plays, those third down stops, getting off the field, getting the ball to the offense, winning the turnover battle.
Minkah, were you guys slower in your communication when Terrell went out or any guys? Or was it Zach Wilson making really good reads?
No, it was nothing to do with communication. They adapted to our game plan. They started throwing passes outside the numbers, away from the robber, was what I was playing. He gets paid too. You know, he's an NFL quarterback. He's going to make great throws. But when they adapt, we got to adapt.
Hey, did you guys get a jolt defensively?
So you hear Minkah Fitzpatrick talking there. Obviously just there's a lot of frustration there, and Minkah Fitzpatrick, this is who he is. He's been a fighter. He's been a leader. He wears his heart on his sleeve, and you want that from a captain because he's going to give you his best game every day. But he's right. You know, the Steelers put him in the middle part of the field to say, hey, you know, throw to the boundaries. But eventually, you know, with the injury to Akella Witherspoon, you know, that led to Zach Wilson saying, hey, let me go to the players that aren't doing well for the Steelers. And that's Arthur Mallette and Robert Spillane specifically. And those guys were getting open. He also, I think Zach Wilson deserves a lot of credit for buying time, staying, you know, focused in this game, because the Steelers did get pressure. They didn't get home a lot, but they did get pressure that forced him to kind of get outside of himself. But he would break the pocket, settle his feet and find open guys and keep plays alive. That's good part on his part. And Mike Mink is like, hey, those guys get paid too. He's absolutely right. But this is supposed to be a defense that was supposed to be able to carry the Steelers through these rough moments. Granted, they are down TJ Watt. They are down Akella Witherspoon. And they were down Terrell Edmonds by that point because he went out with a concussion. We'll see what his status is there. They're also down to DeMonte KZ, who they paid money to kind of be that third safety to help the middle part of the field. So, yeah, they're banged up. They're missing guys. But they're still frustrated because they got a rookie quarterback on the other side. They had a chance to get him his first win, and they blew it. And there's no other way to say it, but they blew it. And it's not just the secondary. We'll get to the defensive front in just a minute here because they weren't good either. But there's definitely a push there. He's talking about the execution needs to be there. He talks about what they can do. I don't think that this group is incapable of playing good to very good defense, even without TJ Watt. They need TJ Watt to be great. There's no doubt about that. But a good defense on a day like that gets one stop out of two in the fourth quarter there. They were not a good defense in this game because you folded late. Early on, I felt like they were holding their own. But, you know, there were moments, there were technique moments that I thought were not good. There were mistakes that were uncharacteristic. And he even said uncharacteristic. That's not who they've been. That's not who they need, that they see themselves being. I think there's things that they could fix up and questions I have as far as, you know, the preparation side of it. You know, I still don't get putting Robert Spillane on passing downs as much as they did. I get putting him in rushing plays. I get or lining him up to say, hey, you're rushing the passer on certain plays. But, man, you got to be able to trust these linebackers to run and make some plays. You know, Devin Bush, this was probably, I'd say, his worst of his first four games. But he wasn't the Devin Bush of old that was just completely useless. You know, this was, you know, or not of old, excuse me, of last year, because he wasn't making plays last year. The year and a half before that, he was playing very well. But there were elements to this game that just weren't sharp by the defense, and they weren't sharp in the right moments. And maybe it's still the whole fatigue thing, but again, you had a long week off. This was your chance to come in, be hot. And I said going into this on Friday, they needed to be Blitzberg. They threw blitzes at Zach Wilson. They just didn't get home. And he did a good job countering them. But I think part of what the Steelers need, they need to have their full complement of guys in the secondary that allowed them to have the rotations that they had in that first game against the Bengals and the rotations that they wanted to have. Because, again, DeMonte Kesey, I think, is a big piece to that puzzle. They have to hope that he gets off injured reserve soon to get that group together. I think it's him, Edmonds, and Fitzpatrick, along with a healthy set of cornerbacks. That would do a lot. At one point in this game, you knew Witherspoon was out for the game. Minka went down at one point. Terrell left the game, wasn't able to return. Cam Sutton went down for a bit there. And I think Levi Wallace also, I think he was the one player that didn't have an injury. But that's a lot of guys that are hurting your secondary, and a secondary that's supposed to be a big reason why you're winning football games. So, one, they need to be healthy, but two, they do need to be sharper. And I think that's going to be a big test of them moving forward and finding out the identity of this group long-term and what you want to invest into, because the only person that they are truly locked in with there is Minka Fitzpatrick, which is good because he's your centerpiece for the secondary. But if you're the Steelers, you know, Cam Sutton ain't around too much longer. And I think Cam Sutton's good. He had a crucial interception in this game that kept the Steelers alive, put them and helped them get in field goal range to shorten their deficit at the half. But, you know, Witherspoon, Wallace, I even say Edmonds. Edmonds wasn't too bad, but, you know, he needs to step up. You know, all these guys, it's determining, hey, which one of these guys are going to be part of the future? Because I truly think this year, or this upcoming offseason, you know, whether it's a high top 10 pick, a mid pick, or a later, like an early 20s pick, or somewhere around anywhere, the Steelers, I think, absolutely should be looking at top flight corners. I said they should have been doing it last year on top of defensive linemen. I think, you know, and offensive linemen, but I think these guys got to remember they're playing for their future with the organization and their future being able to play next to a guy that's truly a fantastic safety in Minka Fitzpatrick. But enough about the secondary. I want to talk about that defensive front because they weren't good either. I think that they were a big part in this too. And I think Cam Hayward said some really good things, as Cam Hayward always does. He's Mr. Steeler. He's the leader. He said some really good, interesting things that I think were true about how this defense needs to come together to be the defense that they're supposed to be this year. We'll talk about that in just a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys, because guess what? There's a new flavor called cookie dough. And now, remember, when you're getting a Built Puff, it's got that marshmallowy center and it's fluffy, it's easy, it's light. And with the cookie dough flavor, it's covered in chocolate just like everything else, but has that classic cookie dough flavor, like with real cookie dough chunks, that's going to make it taste so awesome. Cookie dough chunk puffs also light. They have 160 calories and they pack a whopping 15 grams of protein. That's an amazing balance for your health, light on the calories, high in the protein, getting you ready for the rest of your day. Run to built.com to snag yourself a box for you and the family. It'll be a perfect treat, or you can find a really good hiding place and just hoard them all to yourself. Like all Built Bars, cookie dough chunk puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate, which means they're healthy and tasty. What's great about Built Bars, all the Built Bars, is that they also have collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good to you and is good for you. You're going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff flavor. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that's when you go to built.com and using LOCKED15, LOCKED15, to get 15% off your next order of Built Bars. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. We got to talk about this defensive front. Now, I will say that the run defense wasn't putrid in this game, because there's been a couple games where it has been. You know, the Jets ran 29 times for 98 yards. That's 3.4 yards per play. Not bad, not great, not good, but just, you know, held them in check. Of course, some of those came late, but still, this was an offensive line you were supposed to destroy. We talked about Connor McDermott going in at left tackle. We talked about, Max Mitchell, the right tackle, wasn't that great. He went down in this game, got carted off. So you had two third-string offensive tackles, and you only got Zach Wilson down for one sack in this game. You know, Miles Jack, eight tackles. You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick, eight tackles. Fine, did their stuff there. Minkah Fitzpatrick also, got to say, it would have been a remarkable interception, but man, if he picked off that one that Zach Wilson kind of threw it like as kind of like lower groin area in the red zone, that he would have walked into the end zone for 80. Well, he would have jogged for 80 yards, but he would have just ran into the end zone, won the game, and the Steelers would have been celebrating. But again, Minkah Fitzpatrick, not the reason they lost. But, you know, Devin Bush, six tackles. I still don't think he had a terrible game. I think that he was okay, but this was a defensive front that was supposed to do a lot more. Alex Highsmith did hit the quarterback, did get a sack, did get a tackle for loss, did have four tackles in this game, but I felt like he should have done so much more. There were so many times that he got in the backfield and couldn't bring down Zach Wilson. And again, credit to Zach Wilson, but to me, this was Alex Highsmith's. This needed to be his coming out game to show, hey, I'm a game wrecker too. And he showed, hey, there's still places to grow for him there. And again, that's not to say that he played terribly, but this needed to be a game where he stepped up. You know, Cam Hayward, three tackles. Larry Ogunjobi, three tackles. Ogunjobi also hit the quarterback twice, but still, just they weren't coalescing as a pass rushing unit, and they needed to come together to get after Zach Wilson to make his day tough, and they didn't do that enough. I thought the way Cam Hayward talked about how they need to come together, not just as a defensive front, but as a total defense, was another great example of why he's a leader and why he gets it and why they trust him with so much. But listen to Cam after the game when I asked him this question.
You've played with a lot of different pass rushers over your time here with the Steelers. How much of what you guys are struggling with to get home is about timing and chemistry that you can see buffing out if you guys just keep working at it?
I think we're doing some things right. But it all has to be cohesive. Whether it's understanding if you have contain or letting a guy know you want to run a game. Those are things we have to pick up front. I'm fine saying that, like, my group has to be better. I put a lot of pressure and a lot of pride in what we do up front. But that comes with communication. That comes with being comfortable with what you're doing and working together in tandem. It can't just be one guy being a cowboy. It can't just be two guys getting a call and other guys not. It all works hand in hand, and we all have to be responsible for that. I look at myself. How can I communicate better with the guy next to me or the guy inside me? Because we all have to be responsible, whether he's getting out of the pocket. Sometimes when it's quick passing, you know, you want to get your hands up. You can't get pressure every single time. So it's a multitude of things. It's about working together up front. And we have to continue to pick that up.
Cam's question.
So you heard him talking about there and cleaning it up and the things that they have to do. I want to remind people, which I told you guys about last week on this show when I was talking about Stephon Tuitt. I remember I used to study these guys when Tuitt and Dupree, because originally I think it was Tuitt and Watt were on the same sides, and Cam and Dupree were on the same sides, and eventually the Steelers flipped it, and they were like, we got to switch these guys up, and then all of a sudden, Tuitt would crash, Dupree would twist around him, and then Watt would do what he needed to do, and Cam would play off of that, and that chemistry just built and built and built over the years, and made them a one of the nastiest four-man fronts in the NFL. That took time, though. It took experimentation. It took trust. It took failures. It took successes. You know, successes after failures, failures after successes. They needed to grow together. And that's kind of what I was asking Cam about. I was like, you know, how much of this is stuff that you guys just need to iron out just with reps, just with pure, like, hey, we got to trial by fire this thing. And I know for Cam, you know, it's tough to say that considering, you know, this guy's as old as I am. You know, he's in his early 30s. I mean, he's, you know, he only has a few more of these kind of seasons in him. And he wants to see this group get back to being elite, which in the first week they were on their P's and Q's. But again, TJ Watt being there, it allows everyone else to play at a better rhythm. There's nobody trying to step up. At another point in that press conference, Cam Hayward even said, you know, we can't have people playing hero ball. Everyone has to play to what they do. And I think what he's talking about is there's times that where guys trying to do too much. For example, on the reverse pass, the sort of Philly special that the Jets threw that Zach Wilson caught wide open for a touchdown, Malik Reed's coming down the line. Instead of going after having your responsibility on that play, when you're the backside guy, you have to be as deep as the deepest man. It's classic football, you know, just basics, fundamentals. When you're the edge guy and you have outside contain, if the play's going away from you, be as deep as the deepest man, because you never know if that guy's getting the reverse and coming back your way. He wasn't. He was trying to chase the guy going down the line and open up the reverse for the guy to kind of roll to his right, have all the space in the world to just throw the ball to Zach Wilson. If he stays home, maybe that guy stops, plants his feet, and floats it to Zach Wilson in the end zone. But you have to at least force him to do that, and he didn't even do that. And that's been one of the things with, like, Malik Reed. I think he's trying to do too much because he feels, I'm not being TJ Watt. I'm not holding my end of the bargain. And it might just take time for him to understand, look, buddy, no one's asking to be TJ Watt. Just do the basics. You know, if you have the outside, if the outside contain, play outside contain. Or if you, and you even heard Cam Hayward saying the communication part, if someone wants to do something, yeah, communicate it, but communicate it. Make sure we're all on the same page. And that goes into the hero ball comment that he said that I didn't put in there because I was trying to get that specific clip. But I think it all plays into that. There's guys that are all trying to step up and be the TJ of the group. You don't need to be the TJ. Do your job as prescribed. Do your job playing to what the defense is set up to do. Because when you try to do something, if you're unsuccessful playing hero ball, then you've blown up the concept of the play. Now there's gap integrity that ain't working. And that's the same thing for the run game. The run fits haven't been as good for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, of late. And I think part of it is some guys are trying to step outside of their role and saying, hey, I can do this. I think I see something there. But you have to do that in a way that works in tangent with the rest of your team. And they're not doing that up front. And some of it, the Jets were rolling extra protection to stop Alex Highsmith because they knew that he was the big threat in this game. They knew that Connor McDermott needed help. And they did a good job of that for the most time. I also say Zach Wilson did a great job, you know, when the pressure was on, not panicking. There was one play, he threw an intentional grounding pass. That ball sailed like 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage. I don't know how in the world the officials thought that way got back to the line. That should have been intentional grounding and killed that drive entirely, but I digress. Point being, the Steelers' defensive front can be cleaner, just like the back end can be cleaner. And Cam Hayward also talked about being clean at the same time. And part of it, yeah, there's injuries. You know, at one point Cam went down. At one point Minka went down. A whole secondary went down. You know, there's probably, and you still don't got TJ Watt. There's certainly problems there. But this defense can be so much better if guys are playing in sync, if they understand and trust where each other are. And I think that's what's going on right now, is that I said at the end of last week, this needed to be a week where the defense made some big plays to flip the game the other way and get the Steelers the W. And Minka Fitzpatrick did that with his interception. But sometimes you got to let that play come to you, which means play within, do your job, play your role in it. Don't think, oh, if, you know, I'm going to I'm going to jump this pass here that I normally wouldn't jump because I think I see something here. Now play your responsibility. If you know, and you know what? Certain guys get that opportunity. Minkah Fitzpatrick, he's earned that. You know, Troy Polamalu was able to do whatever he want. Why? Because he was Troy Polamalu. But Robert Spillane ain't Troy Polamalu, and Malik Reed ain't Troy Polamalu, and Devin Bush ain't Troy Polamalu, and you know, all these other guys. If you're a role player, be a role player. And I think that will do a lot for the Steelers defense. We got a lot more film to watch. We got a whole week to talk about it. Defense, offense, everything moving forward. We'll break all of that down here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Steeler Nation, I understand you're a little frustrated, but I do think there is legit hope with Kenny Pickett in there because you saw the command. We'll talk more about the command when I get more chance to watch over the tape. Thanks again for checking out the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. Check me out on the Locked On Steelers podcast here every Monday through Friday on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you watch this video on YouTube, hit the like button on this video if you enjoy it. Hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus content when we have time to release it. If you want to help us out even further, go on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment. You both at the same time, you get a shout out at the end of the show. Thanks again, everybody. Read my work in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette as well. I'm covering Pitt. They had a rough loss this week. They got to bounce back just like the Steelers do next week. We'll see if both of them do. Again, check me out at post-gazette.com there. I'll be back on Tuesday, with Mike DeFabo of The Athletic. He's a longtime Pittsburgh guy. He was at the Post-Gazette with me covering the Penguins. He's flipped to the Steelers, but that guy's a good football smart dude. I've talked to him before. I think you'll like his insight. We'll do that and my grades for the Tuesday episode of Locked On Steelers. We'll see you then.